Now, if you will, open your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. I want to read only verses 1 and 2. Now, would you please stand up? And we are going to read God's Word. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Tonight I want to preach to you, What is that in thine hand? Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be back to Grace Bible Church with Pastor Todd and his people. Thank you so much for allowing me to share the Word of God with your children tonight. Lord, I ask you that this message will be a blessing, special blessing into their hearts. Help us to understand that you want to use us like we are and what with what we have. And Lord, help us to be obedient to the voice of God tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. What is that in thine hand? When the Lord is asking us to do something for him, we all have the tendency to give him the same old excuses. It doesn't matter if it is here in the States or there in Brazil. Human nature is always the same. We tell God we don't have time. I think that's the number one excuse. Or we tell God we don't have talents. We are not qualified. We don't have the gifts to serve him and to work for him. And sometimes we even say we don't have money. We are having some economic problems. We cannot help. And like that, we keep giving God excuses above excuses for not serving him and obeying him and doing his will in our lives. I have met many people that are disappointed at God because they wanted God to act like just a simple man. They were expecting God to be like themselves. But God is God and he's perfect and he's not like us at all. See, in the desert where Moses was, he tried to convince the Lord that he was not the right kind of man to do God's work. He was trying to convince God God was wrong. And he gave the Lord good excuses, but none of them was accepted. Now, if you have a job interview and you tell your prospective boss that you cannot speak, that people never listen to you, do you think you're going to get that job? Of course not. And Moses was trying to do exactly that. He was showing God how bad he was, so God would change his mind about, you know, calling him to the work. But God could see inside Moses' heart. God was not depending on Moses' words. God could see inside the heart. And even tonight, God can see beyond our words. Isn't that wonderful? He can see beyond our own thoughts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I'm so grateful for that, that God knows me better than I know myself. And God knew Moses. Although Moses was saying, I am not qualified, I'm not the right person, God knew that he was. Now let me say this to you. There's nothing wrong about telling God you are not qualified. Moses was not lying. Moses was not exaggerating. When he told God, I am not qualified, he was right. None of us is qualified. None of us is qualified to serve our Almighty God. He is an awesome God, and none of us is qualified to serve him. If we serve him, it's only by his grace, it's only by his mercy, it's only by his love and his goodness towards us. Isn't that right? So Moses was correct. He was not qualified. But he made a mistake by overlooking God's power, by overlooking God's abilities to use him. Because God does not use us because of ourselves, but he uses us in spite of ourselves. How many of you agree with that? Raise your hand. He uses us in spite of ourselves. And I think it's a tremendous blessing when we come to the point to see that God is using us not because of us, but in spite of us. And this is true about these 17 years in the ministry in Brazil. And this is true about my life as a husband, my life as a father. Whatever good I have done is only by the grace of God. And whatever evil I have done is only by my sinful nature. So Moses was right by saying, I'm not qualified, but he was wrong by despising God's ability, God's power to use him in spite of his problems, in spite of his weak points. And that's what we need to understand tonight. We see the outward appearance, but God, he can see inside our hearts. The Apostle Paul, he says that we are chosen, but God has chosen the foolish things, and God has chosen the weak things. And this is about me, and this is about you. God wants to use us, and God wants to use who we are and what we have in our hands, even when we do not understand his ways. I've learned a very important lesson since I got saved, that the ways of the Lord are not my ways, and the thoughts of the Lord are not my thoughts. And that helps me, you know, to walk during my Christian life, that God is much above what I can understand and perceive. So let's first of all ask why God did not call Moses when Moses was a young man. Isn't that interesting? When Moses was young and stronger, and he held an important position in the country of Egypt, God did not call him. Humanly speaking, it seems that God made a mistake. Now Moses is a nobody in the desert. He has no influence whatsoever. And God comes to him when he's already 80 years of age and calls him for the ministry. So humanly speaking, it seems that God made a mistake. But only the Lord knew that Moses, when he was 40, was not prepared, was not ready to be called. Remember, God can see inside the heart, mine heart, your heart. And there are two possible reasons that Moses could not be called at the age of 40. First of all, Moses was an impatient person. He was very impatient. I know all of us have to struggle about being patient, right? But Moses, that was his main struggle. That was probably his weakest point. Moses was very impatient as a young man. Remember, without God's telling him, without direction, without permission from God, he went ahead and he killed an Egyptian in order to protect a Jew. And because of that action, he became a killer. And in becoming a killer, he had to flee, to escape, to save his own life. And there is when he went to the desert. And God had nothing to do with that. Moses did everything on his own, and he became a renegade. There is a saying in Portuguese that impatience is the enemy of perfection. And this is right. Impatience is the enemy of perfection. For example, an impatient doctor is likely to kill his patient before healing him. And a police officer that's impatient will shoot first and ask later. And an impatient pastor, impatient Christians, they can cause a lot of harm into the ministry. They can cause a lot of problems to the kingdom of God. So God knew that Moses was not ready. Moses was not capable yet, because impatience was one of his problems as a young man. But it is amazing to know that after 40 years in the desert, Moses not only overcame his impatience, but he also became one of the most, if not the most, meek men upon the face of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? He became a very meek, a very self-controlled man upon the face of the earth. When God called him, he had overcome that problem. And the only time Moses showed uncontrolled anger or impatience, he was severely punished by the Lord. It's if you read the Bible, you will see that God does not allow for impatience in our lives. And Moses, out of frustration, out of anger, the Bible says he hit the rock twice. That rock symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was supposed to only speak to the rock, but because he was so angry, you know, so frustrated because of the people, he hit the rock. And what happened? Moses was never allowed to enter the promised land. Isn't that serious? I mean, nobody deserved to enter the promised land more than Moses. Nobody deserved more than he did. And yet, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. I believe with all my heart that our lack of self-control is robbing from us a lot of blessings. Our lack of self-control is, you know, depriving us from a lot of blessings that God would like to shed upon our lives. Moses could not enter the promised land. And look, he insisted with God. He begged God to let him in, but he was not allowed. Why is that? Why is God so serious about our, you know, self-control, being patient? Well, I have one idea. We can easily forget a smile. We can easily forget a warm handshake. In Brazil, we are hugging people, and we can easily forget that too. But we never forget an angry person. We don't forget, you know, the redness on his face. We don't forget the red in his eyes. We don't forget the pitch of his voice. We don't forget, you know, the thickness on his neck. We don't forget his facial expressions and the words that he used when he was angry. So we just don't forget very easily an angry person. Yes, we do forget other good things, and yet we find bitterness among the people of God all the time, because impatience will lead to anger. As missionaries, our main job is not to build buildings, but our main job is to build people. And building people takes a lot of time, doesn't it, Pastor? It is one of the hardest work in the world to deal with people. A pastor's wife once told me she would rather deal with dogs than with people. I said, yes, but Jesus didn't die for dogs. He died for people. He loved people, not dogs. And here's the secret. If Jesus dealt with his disciples and the Pharisees for 3 years, 3 years and a half, we can certainly deal with one another. As missionaries on the mission field, we are not there only to teach, but to make sure that people learn. We don't sing in the choir just for singing, but to help the church worship God. So everything we do with people, the main idea, the main reason is to take those people closer to God and help them to grow towards Christ-likeness. But impatient people, they love doing activities, but they hate to deal with people. An elderly man was severely rebuked by his own boss, who was half his age. A young man rebuking an old man. And someone saw that and went to the old man and said, "How come did you allow that young man to rebuke you like that?" And the old man responded, "My friend, if my boss has to live with himself for the rest of his life, I can live with him for a few hours a day." You see, this is wisdom, and this is patience. Many Christians are praying for patience, but they want it now. They cannot wait. But the Bible tells us that patience will come through tribulation. And at the age of 40, Moses was impatient. He was not ready to deal with people. He was not ready for the ministry. But at the age of 80, He was meek. How many of you have already reached the age of 80? Raise your hand. Anyone here? It's 80 or above 80? Not yet. Okay, so wait until you become 80 and the Lord might call you too. A second possible reason Moses was not called back then, because he was a loner. What's a loner? A loner is someone who wants to do everything by himself. I have noticed that a loner has no time to pray, no time to read the Bible, no time to seek for counsel. He does everything by himself. He doesn't want to share his work, his life, his ministry with nobody else. And Moses used to be like that too. One day his father-in-law noticed Moses was trying to, you know, take care of all the problems by himself, helping all the people by himself. And his father-in-law said, "This is not good. What you're doing is not good for you. It's not good for the people. You're going to destroy yourself if you try to be like that all the time." And he listened to his father-in-law. And the Bible says that he shared his leadership with other good men, with other good people. But before then, Moses was very self-centered, and he tried to do everything by himself. Now, I have noticed that nobody, but nobody, can do the work of God by himself. Actually, none of us can accomplish anything in life by ourselves. I don't know who you are, what you have accomplished, what you have conquered in life, but I know this. Whatever you are, whatever you have today, God used people to help you to arrive where you are and to be what you are. Isn't that right? God has always used other people to mold us and to help us to reach our goals, to be what we are tonight. And this is also true in the ministry. I could not have done the work that we have done in Brazil without the help of many, many people. First of all, my own family. I could not have accomplished the ministry I have without my wife and without my daughters. They have been a blessing in my life. They have been a blessing in my ministry. Actually, I believe my family is the key, right, for my blessings in the ministry. I always tell people my wife is not 50% of my ministry. She is 100% of my ministry. When we began the first church about 17 years ago, Rochelle was just a baby. And God used that baby to help our church to grow, because the kids in the neighborhood, they liked baby Rochelle so much that they would come to the services just to see baby Rochelle and to be able to hold baby Rochelle. And then they would bring their parents. So God used a baby to help us to establish the first church. And then the third church, my daughters were, you know, bigger. They were used to help us with the third church as well. And of course, I cannot despise the help that I receive from the people that God has given us in Brazil already. The ones that were getting saved and staying with us and helping us. And God has given us wonderful sending churches like your church that are behind us, holding the ropes and making our ministry possible in Brazil. Are you understanding my point? No one can do the work of God by himself. We need help, and there's nothing to be ashamed, because this is what God intended. When he established the church, he intended that we depended on one another. Because the work of God is not the work of a man. The work of God is the work of a people. I like to say that pastors do not produce sheep, but sheep produce sheep. And if we want to grow the church, if we want to grow the school, if we want to grow the ministry, each and every one of us need to do his or her part. Because there are people that only you can reach for God and nobody else. Have you thought about that? Your pastor, the deacons of the church, will not reach those people if you don't. These are people that you meet with every day in your workplace, your neighborhood, your school, or inside the grocery store, or inside the bank, or at the gas station. People that you know and people that you don't know. But if you just allow God to use you, you could reach those people for the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants to use you to grow His ministry, His church. But you need to be willing to let Him use you. I might have some problems in the ministry, but being a loner is not one of them. Because I know that I will always depend on others to help me to fulfill God's will for my life. Much more could be done for the kingdom of God if we did not worry about who is getting the credit, as long as Jesus is getting all the glory and all the honor that's due to Him. But first, we need to overcome our impatience and our loneliness. Another question: who was Moses to serve God? That's a good question, isn't it? When God came to him and called him to the ministry, Moses asked God, "Who am I?" Why did he ask that question? Was he waiting for God to say, "Oh, you are the most capacitated, intellectual, and educated man that I could find to deliver my people from Egypt"? Was he trying to say, "Lord, when I was young and stronger, you didn't call me. Why are you calling me now?" So he asked God, "Who am I?" And if you go to the Bible, you're going to find out that God never gave him an answer. Isn't that interesting? God never answered that question. Have you asked questions that God never gave you an answer for? I have. And do you know why? Most of the time, it's because those questions are irrelevant. They're not important. And the Lord will not waste time. So God never gave Moses an answer, because it doesn't matter. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. Amen? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter who pastor is. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your educational level. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your balance in the bank. It doesn't matter anything about you. When it comes to serve God, you do not matter. When Moses noticed that God was not going to answer him, he changed his question. And who is the Lord? Oh, now it's a good question, isn't it? Because now it does matter. And God immediately answered to him, "Moses, I am what I am." That's a personal name of God in the Old Testament. And it means, I am the God of the past, I'm the God of the present, and I'm the God of the future. I exist because of myself. I am self-existent. Moses, now you go and tell those people, the Egyptians and the Jews, that I am what I am, have sent you. Because the Egyptians, they make their own gods with their own hands. But you go now, tell them that I am the only one. And I was not made by them, but I have made them myself. Now it matters. Moses asked, "Who is the Lord?" And the Lord told him, gave him the answer, the explanation. You know, God told Moses, "Go and tell them about me. I am, have sent you." And this "I am" in the person of his son appeared in the New Testament. And he used the same expression, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's why each time Jesus used this expression, I am the resurrection, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, I am the Christ, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Each time Jesus used this expression, the Pharisees tried to kill him because he was comparing himself to the I am of the Old Testament. And he is. Amen? He is the I Am. So who is Ram Ribeiro? It doesn't matter. But who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. So Moses was called to speak up about God, and now you and I are called to speak up about Jesus Christ. Moses then said, "But I cannot speak. I cannot speak." And I Am said, "But I have made the mouth and the ears and the eyes. So whatever you cannot, I can. I can." So there's nothing wrong about telling God, "I cannot speak, I cannot see, I cannot hear," as long as you know God can. And He can use you in spite of all the difficulties that you have. You know that I used to be a professional bartender. I used to work behind the counter serving liquor to the customers. And my plan when I was only 12 years of age was to grow up to become a professional drunk. That was my only plan for my life. But through the work of American missionaries in Brazil, I came to know Jesus, and He called me to become a preacher of the Word of God. What a change. Who did that? I Am did that. And that's why it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you believe in God's power to change you and to use you. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter who Moses was. It doesn't matter, but it matters who God is. I like to say He is Jehovah. Since September 11, I like to call Him Jehovah. I call Him God, but I especially call Him Jehovah because God nowadays is just any God. But Jehovah means He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament, and the Father of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, this is the only God that exists, and we serve Him. Another question we must ask about Moses, and this is the last question. What did Moses have to offer God? We read verse 2. He had a simple rod, a rod that you can find anywhere, anytime. A rod without any value that he used to lead his flock. But once that rod, simple, ugly, without any value, was offered to God, it became the most powerful tools in the hand of Moses. And it was used to do mighty things. It was used during the 10 plagues of Egypt, and to open the Red Sea, and to drain water from the rocks in the desert. That was the rod that Moses had offered to God. Likewise, whatever you offer God tonight, even if it's a small thing, God can use it, change it, transform it, and make it a very powerful tool in His kingdom and in His ministry. Some 2,000 years ago, a little boy probably shouted in the midst of the multitude, "I have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." But someone told that little boy, "Be quiet, boy. That's not enough for the problem we have at hand. We need enough food for 15,000 people. So your 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish will not do it. Keep it for yourself." But he didn't. I believe he insisted until Jesus said, "Give it to me." And he offered his meal to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, and he fed more than 15,000 people on a single day. The only offering God cannot multiply, God cannot use, is the one we have not offered him yet. So it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you think about yourself, about your past, about all the mistakes that you have made, because if you offer your life like it is tonight, God can use it, God can transform it, just like He did with the rod of Moses and with the fish and bread of this young boy. And I believe that all of us here tonight would like to be used of God. It doesn't matter, little children or even elderly people. Everybody here tonight, I believe, would like to be used of God. When I got saved, I was very poor, Pastor, very poor, being a buyer. And I had only a pair of shoes, pair of pants, and a shirt to go to church. Now, you might be thinking, but that's good enough, Brother Rom. Well, it was not, because my shoes, they were so old, but so old that they had holes in the sole. Both shoes. So when my pastor was preaching and he gave an invitation, although I desired to go to the altar, I would not go because I was embarrassed to kneel down and show the holes to the people. My pants, they were so old that I had outgrown my pants. And when I went to church with my pants, they looked like Bermudas more than they did pants. Worse yet, the zipper was broken and it would come undone all the time. And I had to use a paper clip to keep the zipper up. And the shirt was not mine. It was a borrowed shirt. It was faded and large, big. And yet, I had that to offer God. Some people would never go to church like that. They would say, I cannot go to church because I don't have clothes. But I did go to church for several weeks with those clothes. But a year later, I had more than one pair of shoes, more than one pair of pants, more than one shirt. Amen? Because I offered God whatever I had. I offered God whatever I was. And that's what He wants from you tonight. What's holding you back? God wants to use you like you are. What did Moses offer God? His rod. His rod. And let me say this to you. God wants to use you how you are. For example, don't think about the past anymore. The Bible tells us that we must forget the past. Because even God will not change what happened in the past. And we cannot make plans for tomorrow because tomorrow does not belong to us. We don't know if we have tomorrow, do we? But we know we have today. We have now to serve God and to do something for our family and for our friends and for our church. So we have today to serve our God. We have time right now. Every human being has the same time in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 4 weeks per month, and 12 months a year. So why do we say that we don't have time? It is a lack of priorities. Because we are not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are seeking first the other things. And that's the reason we are always saying we don't have time. We do. God has given us today. And today is the time to serve Him, to love Him, and to do something that will make the difference in the kingdom of God. And we are alive. And if we are alive, it means we have life. And our life must be also offered to Him. But the Bible says that our life is like a vapor that, you know, appears and vanishes in a moment. My pastor, he lost his son, and his son was your age, 47. Just 1 year older than I am, 47. And my pastor, with tears coming down his face, he said, but his life was so short. And it was. But even if we live to be 100, our lives will be short. That's why the Bible says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. So may God help me and you to redeem our time. And just look around. See the world like it is. And tell me, can we have any hope in this world? The answer is, no. But read the Bible. See what God has promised. Can we have hope about our future? Yes. Yes. We have all the rights in the world to believe that we are the generation of the rapture. Yes, he can come back at any time and take us out of this world. But if he doesn't, we can still serve him, look forward to being with him. What do you have that you can offer God tonight? But somehow, for many, many years, you keep holding back and you don't offer it to God. Your life, your time, your talents, your will, what are you going to offer him? He wants to use it, and he will change it into a very special tool, and you will see, and you're going to like what God's going to do for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for using me in spite of myself. Just about every day, if not every day, I come before you, Father, and I always confess my sins, and I ask you to forgive me where I have failed you. But Lord, thank you now that you are using me in spite of myself. And thank you now, Father, because we can offer you what we are and what we have, and be assured that we are not going to be rejected, especially because we do not love sin, but we do love Jesus. Lord, you know everybody here tonight, and you have a perfect plan for everybody's life here tonight. And I ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts. Help us to leave the church tonight with a lot of hope in our souls that God wants to use us. God is not done with us yet. And help us not to trust, or help us not to believe the devil's lies, because God is not done with us and he wants to use us. We are useful in his kingdom, and that's what we want, Father, to really be used of you. Thank you so much for your people here tonight. Thank you for Pastor Todd. Thank you for the ministry of this church. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.